Welcome again. We are now continuing with Samba XP and track one with the next talk. Please welcome our next speaker, Stefan Metzmacher, with a talk about the way or to modern Kerberos features.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Okay, welcome to my talk regarding modern Kerberos features within Samba. Just a short overview about the topics we're gonna cover today. Just a basic overview how Kerberos works and what messages are exchanged and so on. Then we look at SOU to self in a bit more detail. Then we cover fast and compound identity features. Then what does exist in Kerberos libraries and existing ones, and then how we will use SOU to self and fast and WinBind. Then a few words regarding children's to add new features, and then finally protocol testing of Kerberos within the Python framework. So what is Kerberos? That's an authentication protocol defined in RFC 4120 and a few others. It consists basically of three components: clients or users, KDCs, which are the Kerberos servers, and then servers which offer application services. Realm is typically based on DNS names. That is the scope of a Kerberos domain, which is more or less also a DNS domain in Active Directory. It offers strong mutual authentication, which provides replay protection, which is important. And then we have GSS API and SPNego, which cover the authentication to the application servers. Kerberos uses strong symmetric key crypto. The modern one, the default one, is AES 256. And there's also 128, but that's never used because the stronger one is always negotiated. And then as a fallback, there is ARC for HMAC MD5, which makes use of the NT hashes, which might be still imported from NT4 times, where the passwords are just stored in that way. But for new account or for password changes, AES keys are also stored, and then these are used. It's also possible to use some public key crypto in order to authenticate. Typically, that's authentication via smart cards or other hardware-based systems. They are based on the X509 certificates. The Central Key Distribution Center, the KDC, that's the one that stores all encryption keys, basically the user database, where client principles like administrator at example.com are stored. Then there's the special account, the ticket granting ticket service. That has a special role in the Kerberos realm, where on the left and the right side, the realm name is specified. Then we have server principles. That's typically the service name slash DNS host name. And then the realm is always after the at sign. Yeah, the key distribution center supports and provides two services, the authentication service, AS, and the ticket granting service, TGS. And both of these services provide and grant tickets. We will have a look at what tickets are in a bit. They consist of an unencrypted part containing the realm of the granting KDC and the service principle for the service that belongs to that ticket within the KDC's realm. The encrypted part of the ticket is encrypted with the shared key between the KDC and the service. In an Active Directory world, it's typically the machine account password, and that then derived via some functions into AES keys or ARC4H MAC-MD5 keys and so on. Yeah, the specific key is always specified via the encryption type and a key version number, KVNO, because after a password change, the KVNO changes and the KDC needs to know which key was used and also the service receiving the ticket. It also contains details about the client user, typically also the Windows authorization data, but we will cover that later in the talk. And then the important thing is it contains a random ticket session key. As well as a ticket, it has typically a lifetime of 10 hours, but that is configurable and may change per environment, but typically it's 10 hours. So this is a ticket shown in a Wireshark capture. There we have the realm and the S name, the service name, which is the ticket granting service in this case, the TGT service. And then we have the encrypted part. Here we have the E type, the encryption type, which is AS256 in this case with the number 18 and key version number 2. And this key is used to encrypt the ENK ticket part, which then holds a key, which has the same encryption type typically, but that's not always the case. It contains the client realm, C realm, the client name, C name, which is administrator in this case. And in this case, client and server belong to the same realm, but of course, it's also supported to have trust between realms, and it's basically trust between Active Directory domains. Yeah, and that's at the end, we have some timestamps here saying how long the ticket is valid. And then we have the authorization data section, which includes the Win2K pack element with number 128. And we will see this in the next slide here. This is the pack element expanded a bit. There are typically 4 to 6 elements in there, depending on how modern the Windows domain is. The first thing is the most important one, the logon info that contains the Windows authorization information. And we will have a look at that in the next slide. Two other things are also important. The server checksum, that is a checksum verification of the service which receives the ticket, so that it can make sure that the content of the pack is created by the KDC. And the KDC also provides a checksum in the PrivServe checksum field. So this is the detail of the pack logon info. Here you see details about the count, last logon time, when does the password need to change, when was it set the last time, the account name, administrator, and then all sort of things. The user read 500 is for administrator. You would also see the SIDs there of the domain, but Wireshark isn't smart enough to show it in that compact view. But I think you get the idea. And then we have also some extra SIDs at the end, group memberships in the middle, then resource group memberships of the target domain. And that describes the user properties and the authorization data that is used for the user. Then in a bit more detail, the authentication service that's provided by the KDC, that's basically the first step a client will use, and that proves the identity of the client to the KDC, where the KDC then returns the TGT, the ticket granting ticket, which is the first initial step. Typically that uses two round trips, because for things like AES and other modern key types, the key is salt, or the password is salted with a key. The password is salted with a salt value to form the key. So that's the case. And typically the client doesn't know which salt value is used by the KDC. So it first does the AS request without pre-authentication, just asking for the password salt. And then in the next step, do the password pre-authentication, where it encrypts a timestamp with its user password key. And then the ticket, the TGT, is returned by the KDC. The content of the ticket encrypted part is only known by the KDC for the TGT service, and the AES rep part is encrypted with the client's key so that the client can decrypt it. And both contain the same ticket session key, and in the end both have a shared secret which is temporary, valid for 10 hours. And with this TGT, the client can ask for other tickets. So now the AS request in a bit more detail. Here we have the pre-auth PA data section, where we have the ENC timestamp, and there we see that there's a timestamp encrypted with the administrator's key using KeyTap 23, which is ARC4 HMAC-MD5. This is case. And yeah, further down, we specify administrator as client and ask for a TGT as a service name. And as a response, we get the AS response with the TGT included. Here we have the ticket and we see the TGT cup TGT name there. And then we see the encrypted AS response part that also has the ticket session key and basically mirrors most of the details which are also present in the encrypted part of the ticket. So both client and the KDC in this case know the details about the ticket, which is important for the next step, where we would get a service ticket. But in order to simplify the description of the TGT exchange, we go to the AP exchange, the authentication exchange, which is typically used between a client and the server first, because it's reused in the TGS request. In this case, the client authenticates against the service, and for the TGT request, the service is the curb TGT KDC service. And otherwise, it's directly used within GSS API authentication. The AP request provides a ticket and a so-called authenticator. The authenticator is encrypted with the ticket session key, which means that the receiving service that gets a ticket can decrypt it, and also the client can encrypt it because it knows the ticket session key from the AS response. It also contains the current time of the client, maybe a checksum to protect some other fields of the outer request. And for GSS API, there's a special checksum. It's not really a checksum, it's just a blob of data structures in order to negotiate some features. Then there might be a random initiator subkey and a sequence number. And optionally, there's also an authorization data field. But the most important thing is the fact that it's encrypted with the ticket session key, and then that most times there's an initiator subkey present. The AP response provides mutual authentication to the AP exchange. It's basically encrypted with a ticket session key. So when the service responds, it is sure that only the client, also knowing the ticket session key, can decrypt it. And that way, when the client then decrypts it, it knows that the KDC, KDC, the TGS request, but also in general, the receiving service was able to decrypt the ticket and then verify itself against the client. So there's a mutual exchange. And also the server echoes the client time from the authenticator in order to match the request authenticator with the AP response. In addition, that also contains an acceptor subkey and a sequence number. And typically that is used in a later way in order to encrypt or assign the connection with GSS API. Now, the details about the AP request with GSS API authentication. Here we see we're sending the ticket. We already know how that looks like. And we have the authenticator. It contains the client name, then this GSS API specific checksum, where it says I want integrity, delegation, or whatever. And then when the delegation flag is set, we also send a delegation ticket that's in the KLB grad field. That is an extra ticket that the server can use on behalf of the client in order to connect to other services. Yeah, then we have the subkey and sequence number. In the response, that's even simpler, just the client, client time echoed, also a subkey and the sequence number. Now to the ticket granting service exchange. That allows the client to retrieve tickets which are usable for services. So basically, if a client decides I want to connect to server fileserver.example.com, then it would ask its KDC to get a ticket for it and then use that ticket to do the authentication against the server. As said, the TGS request contains an AP request, and that's put into the PA TGS rec field. We will see that in the next slide. And that authenticates the request to the KDC, and also the service principle is given in the body. And the TGS reply typically returns the service ticket, and that's basically very similar to the AS reply. The end ticket part is only known to the service, and the TGS rep part is encrypted with the TGT session key. That means that the client can decrypt it because it knows the TGT session key. And then again, both parts contain a new ticket session key for the service ticket. And now client and server have a common shared secret, which is then also valid for about 10 hours. But with trusted domains, it can also happen that the service is not located in the same realm as the client, and the client always asks its own KDC first, and then the KDC can decide, no, I don't know about the principle, but I know where you can look for it. And then it returns a referral TGT that looks like curb TGT slash the other server realm at the client realm. And then the client receives that, notices that, and then retries the request against the server realm. In theory, there could be multiple hops in between, but this is just simplified. Okay, the TGS exchange in more detail. There we have the PA data with the PA TGS request, and that uses the TGT returned in the AS response. There we have the authenticator, and then just the service name and the body. And the reply, that looks very much like the AS response. We got the ticket, the encrypted part, the key in there, and details about the service principal name. Now, gluing this all together to do a GSS API Espinego based Kerberos authentication, we will see the following on the network. That's it. First, the two round trips for the AS request to get the TDT. Then we get the service ticket. And then, depending on the response and the service ticket, we may get an additional delegation TGT for the user. And that needs to be a fresh ticket, because that ticket session key is then known to the service too. And it would be bad if we would provide our main TGT, because that way the server would be able to decrypt almost any Kerberos traffic the client would generate also against other services. So when we have all tickets together, we can connect to an application server, an SMB3 or SMB2 server in this case, and there we provide the service ticket in the AP request. And then we provide the GSS API checksum containing the delegation ticket. And then we get back an AP response with an acceptor subkey, and that is the base for signing an encryption further in the application session. So these were the basics about Kerberos. Now we come to the more exciting new features. There is a feature that's for you to self, and also another one more or less related to it, as for you to proxy. These are defined by Microsoft in the MSSFU document, and they allow the usage of Kerberos tickets in the backend when a front end would just do plain text authentication or certificate-based authentication or something like that. Then we have flexible authentication secure tunneling, FAST. That's an RFC 6113. That's a mechanism to protect the AS request. If you remember, in the AS request, in the pre-authentication, there's a timestamp encrypted with the password key of the user. And typically, user passwords are not very strong. And having this blob allows attackers to do offline dictionary attacks on it to find out the user password. And they have all the time in the world they need, because they just have the raw blob and don't need to ask any server for it. So there's no way for the server to lock out the account or something like that. In order to prevent that, clients can use machine account passwords typically. Machine account passwords are typically just in December, I think we used a random 256 character password or something like that, completely random. And that's very strong, and the resulting Kerberos keys are strong. And it would be very hard to do a dictionary attack or something like that on these keys. And another thing, this would allow is this feature so-called compound identities, where the pack inside the service ticket would contain a so-called device info element. That's basically a subset of the machine accounts pack, the logon info element from that, basically copied with the relevant information to the device info of the user ticket. And from there, the receiving service sees from which client a user, from which device a client was authenticated. And then it can do decisions based on that. So maybe a user is only allowed to access a file when it was locked on some computer, and but not from the laptop or something like that. And this can be done with this feature. Now, as for you to self, in more detail, this basically works like using a TGS request with the TGT of the server, and then there are additional PA data objects. The modern one is PA for X509 user. That will allow the user principal to be specified, or the blob of an X509 certificate, which would be received by a front-end server. And then the front-end server would get a ticket on behalf of the user. And the legacy version of it is just PA for user. This only allows principal name, but there's quite some difference in the implementation of both. So the modern one is missing in Samba KDCs, and for Windows KDCs, this allows the usage of enterprise principals. Enterprise principals, you can see them here. We have a username, sambla2, @realm2, which is the NetBIOS name of that domain, and the realm is bla2.base. So we have basically three components, each divided with an @. So it would be bla2, @bla, @bla.base. And that way, the last component could change when we traverse trusts, but the first two would still identify the user globally or within the trust environment without losing the domain part of it. And for the legacy PA for user, that's supported by the Samba KDCs, but sadly, Windows KDCs doesn't allow enterprise principals. So I would guess if we would just send the below element, it wouldn't work. So now a bit more complicated example with S4U2Self using a trust environment. There we have a service in the domain S2W2012L4, and then so on. It's basically a subchild in the domain W2012R2L2.base. And then we try to do S4U2Self for the user some blah 2 at blah 2. Basically, the first step is getting a TGT for the server. That typically just happens once and not for each case. But in this example, I show everything. Then we use fake AS requests for the user in order to get redirected to the correct realm where the user belongs. This is done by doing the AS request without pre-authentication, and the KDC then returns an error message with wrong realm, and that contains the next hop in the trust chain that should be tried the next. So basically from down in the subdomain of forest W2012R2L4, we get redirected to the forest blah.base, and that KDC knows, oh, I have a tree root domain within my forest called blah2.base, and then it redirects the client to that domain, and there the client gets a different answer, the one we already seen before, pre-authentication required, and that means that KDC knows about the user, and from there we know we need a TGT for the realm blah2.base in order to try S4U to self there. It means we need to get referral TGTs first. So the client, or yeah, the server in this case, the machine account, ask its own KDC for a curb TGT slash blah2.base at its own realm, and that gets a referral TGT to the next domain S1W2012L4, and so on. Then we have a bit more complicated setup at the top level domain. There we have a read-only DC, but that just proxies the request to the read-write DC and returns back a referral ticket to the blah.base realm, and that refers to the blah2.base realm. And when we get there, we try the first S4U to self request, and that gets back a referral TGT back to blah.base with a S4U to self pack included. So basically the ticket contains the client principal name of the machine account, but the pack includes the authorization data for the impersonated user. And then we get back the whole hierarchy again back to the domain of the machine account. And there we finally get a ticket for the user with the enterprise principal some blah2 at blah2 at blah2.base. So the next thing would be using FAST in an AS request. There we have basically an extra PA data field where we have an additional authenticator AP request, and then we derive the key from that one, from the ticket and the authenticator merged together, and that is then merged together with the an administrator password key in order to encrypt the password. To encrypt the timestamp there. I think I need to speed up a bit, even further. In the response, we would get an AP response and then also derive various keys and then have the some more details protected by both the machine account and the user account. And yeah, in the response ticket, we would see the device info element, where we have also the user read, group read, extra SITS token, and so on for the device. So now, in order to make WinBind more reliable, for tools like ID, Winfo-i, and so on, even if the specified user is not authenticated yet, we need to return the Unix token, the UID, GID, group list, and so on. Typically, these come via NTLM authentication or via the pack logon info element of the service ticket. But there are some situations where we need to impersonate the user without having that. Sudo public key SSH authentication, NFS, as Ingo said before. And in order to get that, we currently try the token groups element via LDAP, but that's not reliable and trusted situation, and also often wrong in the result it gives. And the only reliable solution there is to use S4U to self, using these enterprise principal names. But the problem is that both MIT Kerberos and Heimdall, both client and server, have some bugs around it, so it's not so easy to use it directly. In order to make S4U to self and so on more reliable, we just saw the complex steps we need in order to get an S4U to self ticket when multiple trusted domains are involved. And for each domain, we want to use site-aware KDCs and don't want to have timeouts and so on. And for that, it would be good if Samba would use, would do all network and DNS traffic itself. Currently, we do a custom CURB5 conf. And we have some APIs there, but these are a bit incomplete in both Heimdall and MIT versions. These are the step APIs where we pass in a request blob, get out a response blob, get the realm we need to send it to, get said if we need to continue or if it's a final message. And that way we can do all network traffic on our own. This is just exactly what we need. But as mentioned, there are problems with that because there are bugs in there. I'm just skipping over these details a bit. But in the end, in Samba, we would have some async functions for that, where we can do all things in parallel and don't block on asking just one KDC. If one KDC doesn't answer in a few milliseconds, we can try another one and so on. to get the timeouts very low. Currently, we see situations where we have timeouts about a minute or so where the Kerberos library is hanging on a syscall, and that's not very good for a service like Winbind. So the high-level APIs for Kerberos would be like this. We have a user creds, specified machine creds, some internal context things, and that would just give as a result the our session info, which is basically the Windows authorization data, which would describe the user.
Okay, excuse me. Sorry, we have to make a cut here to be in time, but thank you very much for your talk.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah, we will go further with the next talk from Ralf Böhme with the topic Developer's Guide to SMBD, SMB2 Packet Processing.